We are accepted in Christ. We can't come in our own name, but we can certainly come in His. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 5, if you would, please. In Genesis 5, verse 1, we're told that this chapter is the book of the generations of Adam. It is the genealogy, the descendants of Adam, through his son Seth to the time of Noah and the flood of Noah's day. It does span a considerable amount of time, about almost 1,700 years, as you add the years up of the ages of the individuals and when they had their children and so forth. You can add it up and you come up to just about 1,700 years from Adam to Noah and the flood. People at that time lived a long time. You can notice there in verse 11 that Enosh, Seth's son, lived 905 years. And then Enosh's son, Kenan, lived 910 years. And so they lived a long time back then. We mentioned there a few weeks ago that considering the age of people at that time and how long they lived, we just took even just a very conservative number and said, assume that everybody lived 400 years. And assume that each one had six children. And as you read down through this, it seems as though the average age was more than 400, and probably the average family had more than six children. But being conservative, living 400 years with six children, that at the end of that 1,700 years, there would have been 7 billion people on the earth. That's about what's here today. We don't think of it that way, but at the time of the flood, likely 7 billion people. As we read down through Genesis chapter 5, talks about the individual, how long they lived before they had children, and then they had a child, their son, and then how long they lived after they had their child, and they died. And you've been familiar with that thought in here in Genesis chapter 5. It's really an emphasis on the fact that God was true to His word. He said if Adam and Eve ate of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil, it would bring death. And chapter 5 is proof of God's word is true. It brought death. Everyone died. Until you come to verse 21. And there's a change. It kind of makes for boring reading, you know. So-and-so begot so-and-so, and he lived so many years, and he died. And so-and-so begot so-and-so, and he lived so many years, and he died. And it just repeats itself over and over again until you come to verse 21, and there's a change. Enoch lived 65 years and begot Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begot Methuselah 300 years and begot sons and daughters, and all the days of Enoch were 365 years, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. The change here is that commentary that Enoch walked with God, and it's repeated twice. There's an emphasis there. Enoch walked with God. We have no such commentary with reference to anyone else. It's simply they had children and they died. But here we have this commentary, Enoch walked with God. And not only that, but it doesn't say he died. It says he was not, for God took him. And so we want to look this evening at these thoughts of Enoch and just make some devotional thoughts, as we had devotional thoughts in Psalm 23. What's it mean? Enoch walked with God. We've looked at this in the past, and some of the things I say tonight are going to be perhaps sound familiar to you. It's going to be a repeat, but I have some other thoughts that I want to add to that this evening. Enoch walked with God. I have a four-point outline. Enoch walked with God. Okay, that's my point. That's my outline tonight. Let's bow in prayer. Father, we thank you for this opportunity tonight again to just come aside for a few minutes, to look at your word together, to be an encouragement to one another, to praise you, and to grow in our understanding of who you are and in our in our walk with you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Enoch. Who is this man, Enoch? We read there in verse 18, he's the son of Jared. He's the seventh generation from Adam. As you look at the line of Cain back in chapter 4, the seventh generation from Adam was Lamech. And Lamech was one who really led in that rebellion against God. As you read down through Cain's genealogy there in chapter 4, and you come to Lamech, the seventh from the generation from Adam, but he was one that really took it a step further in that rebellion against God in the Cainetic civilization. So you have Lamech in the line of Cain, you have Enoch in the line of Seth, both in the seventh generation from Adam, but totally opposites of each other. One leading in the rebellion against God and one leading in their walk with God. And so we have this Enoch. He was 65, it says, when he had Methuselah as a son. And then it says after he had Methuselah that he walked with God 300 years. It seems to imply that the birth of Methuselah made a difference in his life, and it was after the birth of Methuselah that he really began to walk with God. Now, I'm not saying that the first 65 years of his life that he wasn't living for God, that he was living a rebellious life. I'm not saying that, but it seems to say there and indicate that Enoch walked with God after he begot Methuselah 300 years. Seems to indicate that he didn't really start walking with God until Methuselah was born. Perhaps the meaning of Methuselah's name has something to do with that. No doubt you've heard this before, but Methuselah's name means, after he is dead, it shall come. It's a reference, I believe, to the judgment of the Noahic flood. As you read down through this and add up the years, Methuselah died the year of Noah's flood. Died prior to the beginning of the rain, but he died the year that Noah's flood took place. And so his name, after he dies or after he is dead, it shall come, is a reference to the fact that Methuselah was going to live, and then when he died, judgment would come. And so apparently God had revealed to Enoch that truth. Enoch, you see this baby? When this baby dies, judgment is coming. Now, how much God revealed to Enoch, we don't know. Did he know that it was going to be by a flood? We don't know the details, but it just seems as though apparently God had revealed to Enoch that when this child Methuselah died, judgment would come. Think about that, parents. If when your child was born, God said to you, you see this child? When that child dies, I'm going to bring judgment upon the earth. Would that change your life? Would that cause you to maybe have a little different focus on things? Would it cause you to maybe change some priorities? You know, I can imagine that every time Methuselah got a runny nose or got sick, did Enoch think, is this the time? I read from Arthur Pink's book, Gleanings in Genesis. Just a thought. It was as though God had said to Enoch, do you see that baby? The world will last as long as he lives and no longer. When that child dies, I shall deal with the world in judgment. The windows of heaven will be opened and the fountains of the great deep will be broken up and all humanity will perish. If you got that message at the birth of one of your children, would it change your life? And so I think perhaps that's what we're seeing here. God revealed to Enoch that when his son died, judgment would come. I think it's rather interesting that this son, Methuselah, lived 969 years. the longest recorded life in Scripture anyway. Did anybody live longer than Methuselah? Maybe, that's just not recorded in Scripture. But as far as we know, recorded in Scripture, he lived longer than anyone else. Doesn't that speak to the long-suffering of God? He said, when this baby dies, I'm bringing judgment. And then he allowed that child to live 969 years before he brought the judgment. It speaks of God's long-suffering, God's patience, God's grace as he waited for mankind to repent. You know, this walk with God of Enoch, it impacted following generations. Noah is Enoch's great-grandson. It is said of Noah in chapter 6 that Noah walked with God. There's only two individuals in all of Scripture where that terminology is used. Enoch walked with God, and his great-grandson, Noah, walked with God. I believe Enoch's life as a great-grandfather impacted Noah. And Noah also walked with God. In Hebrews chapter 11, we read concerning Enoch, and if all we had was Genesis and it simply said, and he was not, for God took him, we might kind of be left with, what does that mean? But Hebrews clarifies it. He was translated without seeing death. The word that's used there in Scripture, and depending on your translation, it may use a different word, but the King James uses the word he was translated. It's the Greek word metatithemi. Tithemi means to place, and meta means to change. So it literally means to change the place or to change the position. He was changed from the place of this earth to the place of heaven. And that's the reference there. He was translated so that he did not see death. It's almost as if what we see here is Enoch was walking with God, and in that walk with God for that 300 years, he just grew and he matured, and the next logical step in his walk was heaven. And so God had him take that step. You know, most of us think of going to heaven as a giant leap. For Enoch, it was just the next step. Enoch walked with God. It's really a picture for us, I believe, of the rapture. Enoch was taken to heaven without seeing death prior to the judgment. And that's what the rapture is going to be for us. Before God pours out his judgment upon this earth in the tribulation, we as believers will be raptured out. Some without seeing death. Picture of the rapture. In Jude, we won't turn to it, but in Jude chapters, in Jude verses 14 and 15, we're told that Enoch preached and prophesied about this judgment. Once again, we know that apparently God had revealed to Enoch through at the birth of his son that judgment was coming, and then it says in Jude verses 14 and 15 that he prophesied about judgment coming. And so for those 300 years as he walked with God, he proclaimed judgment is coming. He preached judgment is coming. He prophesied judgment is coming. For 300 years he was faithful in that proclamation. Again, for 300 years he preached that judgment was coming, but even after Enoch died, the judgment didn't come for another 669 years. But it did come. God was true to his word, and it did come. So this is that man, Enoch. He was certainly a man of character. He was a man of conviction. Certainly, as he proclaimed judgment was coming, I'm sure he was ridiculed. I'm sure very few believed him, but he was faithful in proclaiming that truth. He was not ashamed to walk with God. He was certainly not ashamed to preach the truth, and to do so with conviction. And he preached it for 300 years. That's Enoch. Enoch walked with God. You know, the Christian life is often pictured as a walk in Scripture. Galatians chapter 5, we're commanded to walk in the Spirit. In 1 John chapter 1, we're commanded to walk in the light. In Romans chapter 6, we're commanded to walk in newness of life. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we're to walk by faith and not by sight. Often the Christian life is pictured as a walk. And as you think of walking, you think of that which is just a consistent, steady progress. You walk and you're just consistently making progress towards your destination. And so this walk of Enoch was just a consistent, steady progression. And why do we walk? Well, we walk because I don't want to be here anymore. I want to be over here. We walk because we want to be someplace else rather than where we are. And isn't that true in the Christian life? Shouldn't that be true in our Christian life? We don't want to stagnate and stay where we are in our Christian life. We want to grow. We want to become more like Christ. We want to become more loving. We want to become more gracious. We want to become more patient. We want to make consistent, steady progress towards a different destination. We want that in our lives. We should want that in our lives. And so as it talks about the Christian life being a walk, that's the emphasis. We want to go from here. We don't want to be satisfied here. Again, we're not talking about not being content with where God has us in the sense of Paul making that statement, in whatever state I am to be content. But we shouldn't be content where I am spiritually. We should want to grow. We should want to make that progress. And so we want to walk with God and make consistent, steady progress. And I believe that's what is implied here with Enoch. He walked with God. He was advancing and not satisfied with the status quo in his life. Notice it says he walked with God. It doesn't say that Enoch took a walk with God. Now, sometimes we can go out for a walk, but then we come back. It's not that Enoch once in a while took a walk with God, and then he came back and got back to his own conveniences and his own comforts. No, he was consistently walking with God, not just once in a while taking a walk with God. And that should be true in our own lives. We need to walk with God and not just take a walk with him once in a while. So Enoch walked with God. He didn't run with God. He walked with God. Again, the Christian life is pictured as a walk, a consistent, steady progression. We get impatient. We've often said we live in a microwavable society. We want everything right now. We don't want to wait on God. We want to run with God. We want to, you know, the old saying, I want patience and I want it right now. And that's how we often run our lives. We want to run with God. We want to get from point A to point B quickly. And it doesn't happen that way. We don't, you know, a baby doesn't grow overnight. And that's true in the spiritual life as well. We're not going to be some spiritual giant the day after we're saved. It's going to be a consistent progression as we walk with God. And it's not a run. We need to be waiting upon the Lord. We're not very pleased with the idea of delayed gratification. You know, we want to sow today and reap tomorrow. And if we can't reap tomorrow, then we're not going to sow today. But the Scriptures tell us that it's not a race, it's not a run. We sow today, and it may be a while before we reap. But we wait on God. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. We wait upon God in the walk with him. Enoch waited on God. He didn't run with God. In Hebrews chapter 11, we know that this walk of Enoch was a walk of faith. It says that Enoch was translated as the Lord took him without seeing death. And then it says in Hebrews 11, it says that he had this testimony that he pleased God. Now, the testimony in Genesis 5 is that he walked with God. It doesn't say he pleased God, but obviously to walk with God is to please God. And so the writer of Hebrews simply took that phrase, Enoch walked with God, and he said he obviously pleased God. And then he went on there in Hebrews chapter 11 and said it's without faith, it's impossible to please God. So he is emphasizing Enoch had faith. That walk of Enoch was a walk of faith. In Hebrews chapter 11, it says it's a walk of faith, and it's a walk of faith that pleases God. And then it says, they that come to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Two things. That walk of faith. First, we need to believe that he is. As Christians, we have come to realize not just that God exists, but the God of the Bible. The God who sent his only begotten Son to give his life for us, that God exists. That God is the one who is. And so we come to know Christ as our Savior. When we come to know Christ as our Savior, then we believe that he is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. He rewards us with salvation, but beyond that, he continues to bless us as we walk with him. It's that second one that we struggle with. As believers, do we really believe that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him? Do we have that faith? You know, so often we decide to go our own way and do our own thing because we just don't believe that doing it God's way is going to work. If I do it God's way, I'm going to be miserable. I've got to do it my way to be happy. God has promised that as we obey him, he will bless us. There will be peace. There will be contentment. There will be satisfaction. We don't believe it. We don't have faith enough to trust him. Because it's not necessarily a gratification immediately. We don't reap it immediately. But do we trust him that we will reap it eventually? Do we trust him that joy and peace does come because he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him? Do we have that faith? Enoch had that faith. Enoch trusted God. He had faith. He believed that he was a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Enoch walked. Enoch walked with God. Walked with God. You know, there's three dangers, isn't there? Enoch walked with God. The one danger is that we're going to lag behind God. You know, because of our lack of faith, we're just not going to trust him, and we're going to kind of drag our feet and not keep up with God. And so the one danger is that we lag behind him and not walk with him. Another danger is that, again, we run ahead of him. You know, God is interested in us doing the right thing, but he's interested in us doing the right thing at the right time. Think about it this way. If Joshua would have decided, you know what? I'm getting tired of walking around this city, Jericho. I think I'm going to blow the trumpets on the sixth day. I'm not waiting for the seventh day. I'm getting tired of this. I'm going to blow the trumpets on the sixth day. If Joshua would have had the trumpets blown on the sixth day, would those walls have come down? Nope. He would have been running ahead of God, and it would have failed. Now, the next battle, the battle of Ai, remember that in Scripture? Joshua ran ahead of God. It says that they kind of scoped it out and said, well, this is just a small city. I mean, look at this huge city we just destroyed, Jericho. And Ai is just a small city, so we'll just send a few people over there. And it says specifically that they took not counsel of God. They got ahead of them. At Jericho, they waited for the seventh day, and they marched around it seven times, and they blew the trumpets and did exactly what God told them to do, and it worked. Ai, they got ahead of God. And they were defeated by the city of Ai. And so we can lag behind God because of lack of faith. We can run ahead of God because of our impatience. We can end up taking detours and not walking with God. We get sidetracked. James chapter 1 verse 14 says that every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. We can get drawn away because of our lust, because of our desires. And we end up taking detours, not walking with God. Enoch didn't lag behind. He didn't run ahead, didn't take any detours. And then we read in Amos chapter 3, can two walk together except they be agreed? Enoch, walking with God, tells us that he agreed with God. Because you can't walk with someone if you're not in agreement. Enoch was in agreement with God. He was in agreement with God's values. He was in agreement with God's goals. He was in agreement with God's desires. He was in agreement with God's ways. He was in agreement with God's thoughts. He agreed with God. And we talked about tonight walking through the valley of the shadow of death. When you go through those challenges in life, those difficulties in life, those trials in life, when things get really difficult, when things get really stressful, do you agree with God that He's taking you in the right path? Well, most of the time when those hard times come and we get upset about it and we want out. We want out of that difficulty, and we want out of that difficulty now, and that's how we pray, Lord, get me out of here. Should we not be praying, Lord, I want to walk with you. I want to be in agreement with you. And if you believe that this difficulty is exactly where I need to be right now, I agree with you. If I'm hurting because somebody has done something to me, if I'm struggling in my relationships with somebody and they've hurt me in that relationship, Lord, I'm in agreement with you. This is right where I need to be. Help me to walk with you. Usually our approach again is, get me out of here, God. I don't like this. I don't agree with this, is in essence what we're saying. We need to walk with God, and walking with God means we agree with Him. We agree with the path that He's taking us down. Enoch walked with God. We need to choose who we're going to walk with. We're going to walk with the world. Remember what Paul said about Demas? Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world or this present age. Demas decided he was going to walk with the world rather than God. And we can often decide that too. And we can't walk with both. We can't walk with this world and with God. James chapter 4 and verse 4, the friendship of the world is enmity with God. We cannot walk with the world and with God. We need to make a choice. Who will I walk with? We can walk with our flesh. We can be drawn away with our own lust and enticed. We can choose to, I'm just going to walk the path that best pleases me and gives me the greatest pleasure. I'm going to walk the path that satisfies me. We can walk with the world. We can walk with the flesh. Enoch walked with God. The word God here is Elohim. The word El means mighty one. The word Elohim, plural, the mightiest one of all. Speaks of God's omnipotence. He is the mightiest one of all in the universe. And you know, think about that logically. I have a choice to walk with the world. I have a choice to walk with my flesh. Or I can choose to walk with the mightiest one in the universe. How foolish to make a choice other than walking with God. Enoch walked with God. You know, when we think of some of the Old Testament saints, we think of Moses, who, you know, just did some incredible things and led two 2 to 3 million people from Egypt towards the Promised Land. And then we maybe think of Joshua, who led the children of Israel across the Jordan and into the Promised Land and defeated the Canaanites. And we think of Paul, who in the New Testament, he just went all over the Roman Empire starting churches. And we look at those great things. Man, I could never do that. You know, I could never go out and plant churches. I could never lead 2 to 3 million people. Maybe not. Depends on what God wants you to do. But you know, as far as Enoch's concerned, we don't know of any great thing that he did. There's nothing recorded in Scripture of any great accomplishment. What he did was every day he just did the little things of walking with God. And we can do that. Every one of us in here can do that. You don't think you can lead 2 or 3 million people? Don't worry about it. Walk with God. Just do the little things every day, like Enoch, and walk with the mightiest one of the universe. Let's bow in prayer. Father, we're so grateful again for our time together tonight and your love for us. Thank you for your grace in our behalf. Thank you for just these few simple verses relating to us the life of Enoch. Not a lot there, but as far as words are concerned, but Father, so much there in those four little words, Enoch walked with God. May that be true in our lives. In Jesus' name, shall we stand? Help us, Father, as we leave this evening to examine our own lives. Are we lagging behind you? Are we running ahead of you? Are we in agreement with you? Help us, Father, to walk with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good evening. May God bless you. Thank you.